The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit to the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said to him in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan." The Gospel of the Lord. So good morning, everybody. Good morning. Nice to see you all. So today it's about temptation. And in the gospel this morning we have three temptations of Jesus. And it's also in the first reading in the book of Genesis. And talking about three, as an Irish person we find it hard to say three because we don't we find difficulties with our THs. So I'm going to tell you a little story about that. An Irishman arrived in New York and he found some lodgings and he found some work. And then he decided, now the next thing he had to find was a nice little bar where he could go and have a nice quiet drink now and again on his way home from work and in his free time. So he found a nice little bar in the center of Manhattan, and he would go into that bar, and every time he went in, he would say to the bartender, "Can I have three beers, please?" And so the barman would serve him with three beers, and he'd finish them, and then he'd say, "Excuse me, can I have three more beers?" So after doing this a few times, the bartender asked him one day, "Why do you always come in and ask for three beers?" "Oh," he said, "I can tell you why. Before I left home, I have two,
for others at home. And we made a promise to one another that whenever we went for a drink, we'd buy one for one another or for each other. Oh, the bartender, what a beautiful thing to do. That's really beautiful. So this continues for a while, and then sometime during spring, he comes in and he says, two beers, please. And the bartender serves him, and he says, two more beers, please. And the bartender serves him. And then the bartender came over and said, I'm very sorry, he said. Has one of your brothers died? And the Irishman said, oh, no, 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 he said. It's nothing like that. You see, it's Lent, and I never take a drink myself during Lent. See how we can fool ourselves. Yeah, typical Irishman, right? So now, I want you to think along those lines, and that's why I used that little story about the three beers. Jesus in the gospel this morning, there was three main temptations there. Now, so we're going to be thinking a little bit about temptation today and sin, unfortunately, because we're into Lent. When you think of temptation and sin, where does your mind normally go? I'm not going to ask you to answer that out loud. But where does your mind normally focus? Because normally when we think of sin and temptation, we're always, it's 9 times out of 10, we think it's something sexual, right? I'm pretty certain in saying that. And we think, yeah. But you know something? That was never the focus of what Jesus spoke about. Jesus wasn't against moral sexuality, but don't misinterpret this phrase, but Jesus wasn't really into sex, put it that way. He rarely spoke about it. He had a great regard for prostitutes and sinners. And Jesus even said once, you know, he looked at the people and around him, and especially the scribes and the Pharisees who were so rule-oriented, and said, prostitutes and sinners are getting into heaven before you. So 9/10 of the gospel was about what we might call, using the number three, was about the three P's. The three P's. Anybody know what they are? The three P's. And this is what most people, this is the sin. These are the really serious sins. You see, for a long time in the church, and it still happens actually, and I presume, and again, I don't feel I'm wrong, that there are people here at Mass this morning who, maybe through no fault of their own, their marriage failed. And they're in a second relationship, or maybe in a third relationship. And I bet you any money, very often when you come to church, you feel uncomfortable. Maybe, and I hope this doesn't happen, maybe you feel you can't even approach the altar for Holy Communion. And it's not your fault that you think like this, because we are always preaching about, you know, one time, and I hate using the word, but we regard people like that who are separated and remarried or had found real love for the first time in their lives. We looked down upon them, and they were excommunicated. They weren't allowed to go to the sacraments. This was the church. That wasn't what Jesus was into. Believe me, Jesus wasn't into that. 9/10 of the gospel was about something totally different, the major sins. And they're never mentioned. They're never mentioned because the church has made very comfortable bedfellows with the three P's. I'm talking about power, prestige, and possessions. Power, prestige, and possessions. These are the things that deaden the spirit and numb the heart and really come between us and God, really come between us and Jesus, the Lord, that really do. They deaden the spirit, they numb the heart. These three things. Power. Now this is for all of us, and I'm included in this. Power. Well, you might think, well, I don't have any power. Oh, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Do you like to be in control? Do you manipulate people? Some people can be very, very controlling with their family, with their friends, very, very, very controlling. You do it quietly, but you make sure to do what you want to do. Maybe, I don't know, you're married to somebody like that, are you? You don't have to answer out loud. Or don't be looking at her. Don't be looking. Don't look. But you're quite possibly, you may be. Prestige. Do you worry about what people think of you? Do you worry about your appearance all the time? Is it important to you where you live, or what area you live in, what your home is like? Do these things, be honest, are these things that really matter in your life? Well, in a lot of people's lives, they are of vital importance. Power, prestige, possessions. Now, there's the one, and we all have to look. And it's painful. It's painful to really look into your own heart. How important are these things to me? How important is money in your life? Be honest. How important is money in your life? A lot of people will not like to admit it, but money is of vital importance. Sometimes a lot more important than God. Than God. Money. If I were to say to you, and I include myself, hands up those who don't want any more money. Hands up those who want more money. Be honest. Money, possessions, dominant in a lot of people's lives. They occupy 9/10 of our lives sometimes during the day, morning, noon, and night. When the stock market goes down, we are down. When it goes up, we are up. They're the things that Jesus is talking about, the 3/9 of the gospel. Read the Sermon on the Mount, read Luke's gospel, read Matthew's gospel, and you'll find 9/10 of the gospel is about this. And look at the church. We're all part of the church. The church is in to power, prestige, and possessions. Now, I say it against myself, but a lot of priests, and maybe I am too, can be very controlling. Very controlling. They like the power. I'm in charge. You can't do anything without me. Prestige. Possessions. Look at the church. Just pick out one. Prestige. Now, it's painful to talk about it, but it's a fact. The scandal of child abuse. What did the church do? They were more worried, they were more worried about the institution and the standing of the church and the good name of the church very often than the victims. Now that's painful to admit, but it's a fact. And it's still happening to this very day. There are many bishops in the church who will not take their responsibility when it comes to that. And the first thing comes to their mind is, we must guard the good name of the church. Am I right or wrong? That happens. It's happened here. It's happened here. It's happened in... That caused more scandal in Ireland than any place else. They just would not admit they had a problem. Would not admit the hierarchy that there was a problem, and there was a major problem, and it's still an ongoing problem, believe me. You only need go to Ireland, look at the mass attendance, look at what's happening there. Prestige. Prestige. These are the things that Jesus spoke about. Jesus had all the time in the world for those who came before him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, because I am a sinner. You're never as close to the Lord as when you can come to him and humbly say, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am a sinner. They are the real friends of Jesus. They are the real good, wholesome people who admit their faults and their sins. And how we can be blinded to those things. Just to finish off, to lighten the subject a little bit. There was a priest out on a sick call one night, late at night, and he was making his way home back to the rectory. And suddenly, he felt a knife in his back and a guy behind him saying, your money or I'll stab you. And the priest was very scared. And he looked around, and the guy behind him saw his collar, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, Father, I didn't realize you were a priest. And at this stage, the priest naturally was shaking. So he put his hand in his pocket and took out a packet of cigarettes to ease his nerves, and he offered one to the guy with the knife. And the guy with the knife said, oh, no, thank you, Father, I've given him up for Lent. See, you can't win, right?